Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown on the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning, church. You know, I want to welcome you today as we begin, as we go into our second week of our sermon series, Creatures of Habit. And I think this subject about our habits may be one of the most important subjects that we talk about all year, because it affects so much of our lives. If we have habits that lead us into a healthy life, or habits that can take us away from that. And as I mentioned last week, our lives are really largely made up of these habits that we have developed. Each day is defined by the choices that we make or we do not make. And God has just wired us to be people of routine. And that within itself, that's not the problem. The problem is that some of us fall into these ruts that just lead us to live some rather unhealthy lives, sometimes without us really even thinking about it. And so last week we talked about replacing the habit of internalizing thoughts that are negative thoughts, that are not thoughts that are good for us, thoughts from the evil one, and living as if those thoughts define us, with replacing that with filling ourselves with the truth from God's word each and every day. And we discovered that when we meditate on God's word, the truth, just day and night, when we have that in there, it can have just a profound impact on how we live. Today we're going to look at another habit that can help us live into the fullness of Christ, and that's the habit of simplicity. A missionary from India was visiting the United States recently. And while he was sharing what his ministry was from church to church, he was asked what surprised him about people who live in America. And he said what was the most shocking thing of all the things that he could come up with, the thing that he said was the most shocking thing about coming to the United States, you might be surprised by this, was seeing the number of storage units he saw and the various towns that he was visiting. I found that interesting. Of all the things he could come up with, I mean, he came from another culture, a place that economically struggles quite a bit, and that's the thing he came up with. It's because he couldn't fathom people having so much stuff that they would store it in places outside of their homes and pay for that monthly to keep it there. In his eyes, Americans have a habit of collecting way too much stuff. And I think he's right. Our country just really is obsessed with more. Our economy is built on people buying stuff they really don't need. More homes, more cars, more credit cards, more clothes, more vacations, more toys. We have a hunger for things. And we've convinced ourselves that if we just had a little more, then we'd be happy. Then we'd be fulfilled. Then we would believe we finally arrived. Then we can consider ourselves a success. I know people who spend hours a day on Amazon ordering something just to see that come to their door every day. I know individuals who love the rush of swiping a credit card just to toss that item a couple of days later. The advertisements on our phones and the commercials on the television would love for us to continue with our spending and collecting habits. But the problem is that no matter amount of stuff that can give us a sense of fulfillment and peace, that only comes from a relationship with God. So something that we all need is to embrace the idea that truly less is more. It's the opposite of what our culture preaches every day to us, that less is more. For some of us, our spending habits and our collecting habits and our hoarding habits have become such a part of our daily routine that we don't realize the power that it has over us. For many, the habits have gone on for so long and are so accepted by our wider culture that we forget that we become slaves to payments and bills and worry and comparison. Paul offers us a new habit to introduce into our lives that might help us experience true freedom from that old way of living. He writes to the Philippian church about their willingness to support him in one of the most difficult seasons of his ministry. The generous outpouring from this church was just such a huge blessing to Paul. And Paul shares his secret to loving God and loving others. We find it in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 13 says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul here is talking about contentment. He knows what it's like to have almost nothing and wonder where his next meal is coming. And he knows what it's like to have a lot. No matter the circumstance that he found himself living in, he had learned to be thankful and grateful for whatever God has provided in that moment. And by listing all the things that God has given us, just taking the time to take it all in and being thankful for all the blessings that we often overlook, we can truly develop a habit of gratitude and contentment. When we're constantly striving for more, when we get lost in that struggle, we can lose the most important things in life. Our perspective gets kind of skewed. We just kind of miss the important things. But when we find ourselves with less, we can actually become more sensitive to each and every blessing that's in our lives. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. If you can think back to a time when it was a struggle just to have enough food, just to pay the bills. But did you take the time to remember the little things? Sometimes it was the little things, the walks, the doing the free things with your family that you couldn't afford to do the other things and the blessings that that had. And sometimes when we have more, we forget about all those little blessings in life. Recently, I ran across an illustration that shows how a small daily habit of gratitude can, what it can do in someone's life. And so, in the Chilean village of Chimango, in this little village, water is nearly as valuable as precious metals. Because this region is just really arid, and it's parched, and it forces the village to truck in fresh water over dirt roads for miles away. Until recently, the average person there could afford just a mere 4 gallons a day of water. Compared to us, the United States, we use about 90 gallons a day. And buying even those 4 gallons soaked up 10% of household incomes. In Chunungo, bathing was a luxury. But then scientists experimented with an ingenious new system for obtaining water. And so under the direction of Dr. Robert Schulmanier, and I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but it's as close as I come, is a Canadian cloud physicist. And these workers hung this wall of finely woven propylene nets on the top of a nearby mountain, El Tofo. And each of these nets, they're about the size of 8 queen-size bed sheets that are sewn together. If you look in your message notes, you can see a picture of that there. And so they have these on the mountains. They've got 75 of these set on this mountain. And they sift the clouds that constantly sweep in from the Pacific Ocean. And like dew collects on grass, these infinitesimally small water particles from fog collect on these fiber nets. It takes 10,000 such water particles to come together to produce one drop of water the size of a teardrop. 10,000. Still, each net will collect about 40 gallons of water a day. The 75 nets on El Tofo sift a total of 3,000 gallons daily from the drifting clouds and fog. And now these 330 residents of Chumango drink water, the freshest they've ever tasted, from these nets atop nearby El Tofo Mountain. So I want you to have that image in your head and just think about these nets like habits. Good habits that over a long period of time can have these huge results. It might seem like such a small thing in the moment, but it makes me wonder how our lives might change if we learned to live simply in each moment and allow that lifestyle to build a life. If we've learned to be content and appreciate all that God has given to us, I think our hearts would just overflow with joy. And so the first principle for us to embrace is that less is more. Here's the second principle. Simplifying life is a form of trust in God. Simplifying life is a form of trusting. As creatures of habit, we're not naturally content people. The draw for more is somehow connected into us, our value and our worth and our status. And we often are in the habit of just getting more and more stuff because we're trying to keep up with others, trying to have this certain image, or trying to bring us some sort of comfort. And because of this, simplifying our lives takes intention. It doesn't just happen. We have to purposely choose it over and over and over again. Jesus knew his followers would struggle with contentment. And he knew it would be a constant temptation just to want more than what we have. And so what Jesus always pointed his followers to was to trusting God. Trust that God would supply all of their needs. Patty shared this whole passage from Matthew chapter 6. I want to highlight just a couple of these verses. Looking at 25 to 27, again it says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." That can be tough for some people. To let go of the worry. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Well, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't they far more valuable to him than, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? In this passage, Jesus introduces us to a helpful habit that can move us from our need for stuff to a place of simplicity. And that habit is the habit of awareness. Jesus says, just look around you. Put aside your worry and anxiety over what you do and do not have, and rather pay attention to how God provides and cares even for the birds of the air. Well, they don't scramble to sow, reap, or fill barns with their perceived needs. They trust the Heavenly Father to simply provide. And here's the key. If God will do it for them, won't He do it for us too? And so I would like us to do that just for a moment. Just right here in the middle of the sermon, I want all of us just to close our eyes. Close your eyes, and I want you to take a deep breath and let it out. With your eyes closed, I want you to purposely slow down for just a minute and take inventory of the blessings that God has given you. Think about your family, work, your home, and health, the blessings we have with living in America. And as you think of your blessings, I want you, as they come to your mind, to specifically tell God, thank you. We're going to do that just for a few seconds. Tell God thank you for each of your blessings. Eyes still closed. I want you to consider the desires that you have that give you anxiety and worry right now. What is it that just you is consuming your mind? It's making it hard for you to sleep at night. It's giving you heartburn. It's giving you a stomach ache. What is that thing that's just driving you crazy? And would you give it to God? It could be a whole list of things. And as you do, would you tell God, I trust you. Just with your eyes closed, give those things to God. Tell Him you trust Him. I could have spent a half hour just giving you time to talk to God about your blessings and the stresses in life. But two simple phrases that could literally transform your life if you could add it to your vocabulary, your daily routine, are simply, God, thank you, and God, I trust you. Sometimes that needs to be a mantra when you're in the middle of something that is just causing all that stress. God, I trust you. Help me to trust you more. I trust you. Help me to trust you more. And just say it over and over until that fear, that anxiety releases its grip. So the first principle is more is less is more. And the second is simplifying life is truly a form of trust. And then the third principle is this. We need to seek the kingdom of God first. That's the challenge. We seek the kingdom, but making it first. Living the simple life begins with having our priorities in the correct order. When we know what is most important in life, it then allows us to do without some things that are of lesser importance. And this was also a message that was preached by Jesus. He said it this way, we heard it a moment ago, Matthew 6:33, to seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give everything you need. Don't seek that raise first. Don't seek the new car first. Don't seek that house on the lake first. Don't seek that purse first or the next purchase or that toy first. Instead, our focus should be on the kingdom of God first. And when this is first on the totem pole of life, then everything else has this way of falling in line as they should. And so in life, there will always be these many things, like represented here on this table, of things that are fighting for our attention. And whatever gets our attention is the thing we're going to, that's just going to consume our time and energy. And we got to be very careful that we make a habit of chasing after the things that God is wanting to place in our life. Being careful not to put something that God is not putting in our life to chase after. Because sometimes we do. We go after lesser things. We just kind of sometimes slide into it. Sometimes we choose it. But we have this tendency to go after things like a car or a house that's in a better neighborhood, maybe just a little bit nicer, or certain clothes that look the image we want to have. We don't want to have, you know, the old stuff. We got to be in style. Or maybe it's entertainment that we go after. We have all these things, bank account status, so many things that we go after, and it becomes almost more than we can handle. It becomes too much for us as we're going after these things. But if we choose to seek the kingdom of God first, instead of all these other things, then slowly all these other things have this way of lining up. It's living simply. It's living purposefully. Putting the kingdom of God first helps us to navigate what to buy, what to pursue, how to treat our loved ones in our life, how to use our time, how to manage our finances. Putting the kingdom of God first keeps us from wasting energy and money on things that really don't matter in the scheme of things and cluttering our lives with purposeless stuff. So as creatures of habit, how do we move then from that stuff mentality to a simplicity mentality? Well, the first thing I think we can do is we need to intentionally watch our bank account. Just create a routine of taking note of what gets the bulk of our finances. There are some things we can't help, but there are other things that are discretionary. Are there places you would rather it go? We'll consider intentionally simplifying one area so you can be generous to one in another area. It's just being intentional about where and what you do with your resources. And then the second thing is to create space in your life. And we struggle with this because we have this tendency to fill up every second of every day with noise and things and stuff. And we just get so full that God barely has a moment to say anything to us. And so besides watching the bank account, we need to create purposeful space in our life. Don't overspend. Don't overcommit. Don't overextend. Say no to some things so you can say yes to even better things. Make sure that you have room in your calendar for God to be able to use you and your gifts and your talents and your resources. So we watch the bank account just to see how we're using our resources, and we create that space in our life so we're not overextended. And then third, we repent of idols that we've set up in our life. Idols in our heart. Are there things that you have that you love more than you love God? That you give more time to than you do God? That you say yes to faster than you say yes to God? If there is, if the Holy Spirit is pointing something out, then repent of that. Maybe consider getting rid of it if that's something you're able to do to protect your love for God. Or maybe you just need to cut back the time and resource you give to that so that God again becomes in first place in your life. Not just as a concept, because it's easy for us to say, yeah, God, you're first. Okay, let's look at the calendar. Let's look at the bank account. What is that really saying about our choices we have made? We don't want it to be just a concept. We want it to be what we actually do in our day-to-day life. Let's pray. God, this concept of simplicity is the opposite of what we hear every day. May we learn to say no to the noise. May we learn to say no to that impulse to buy, to have, to get more. May we be purposeful and just every day thanking you for the blessings we do have. God, would you release us from this constant want to compare ourselves to somebody else that causes so much discontentment in us. To see on the social media what this friend or this other person has that I don't have. Teach us the value of less being more. That you can do more through us when we live a more simple life. I think this is a challenge for all of us. I don't think there's anybody who has this down. May we learn to walk in this more fully. God, would you help us to see wherever we struggle? Maybe take those blinders off. The blinders that our culture has us because it's what everyone else is doing. May we learn to be more intentional in all areas of our life so that we can truly be a vessel you can use in this world to share your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.